Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for being present right now. If you are clicking on to this, the chances are high that somebody sent this to you. Maybe you stumbled across it. Maybe you came across it as an offering in my newsletter or website, but it resonated because you are having a sleepless night. So what I'm going to offer to you are some things to keep in mind and an offering of true help. This is not just a cursory subject. This is something I have personal experience with. And I want you to have resources and tools that you can go to in the middle of the night, if needed, no matter what time of the day, no matter when, that can ground you and give you the support you need when you are struggling. A sleepless night is not a problem with sleeping. A sleepless night is a truth problem that's manifesting itself as sleeping. What I mean by that is it means you believe something to be true that is not actually true. The effect of that belief, that assumption of truth, is that your mind is focused on something. And wherever you place your attention, your desire likely follows almost always. And as your affections surround that because your attention is on it, your body starts to respond. So what you think is anxiety, what you think is fear, what you think is trouble, what you think is darkness, heaviness, weightiness, a demon, whatever it is an effect of unbelief in the truth, or believing something that isn't true, which is deception. Self-deception is very common. We all experience it because none of us know the truth perfectly, right? We're all partial believers on our best day. So what I'm going to offer you is a framework which will help you. Now, I'm not going to go deep into that framework, and in this first little recording, I'm going to say a few things which I hope will help decide if this is a path you want to take with me. I hope you do. And I would like to encourage you to avail yourself to my resource. It's a book entitled Getting Better When You Can't. It's the subject of my doctoral thesis. And it is the premise upon which all of this comes. And I have been able to pressure test it over the years with many people in many different scenarios and many different struggles. And it has never let me down. It's the culmination of thousands of hours of coaching and counseling between myself and another gentleman. And it is the net effect of many more thousands of hours of study. And so I offer it to you, and you can buy the book, but you can also have this tool for free whenever you want, okay? My question to you is that have you ever had a night? Maybe you're having one now where your mind will not turn off. Do your thoughts possess kind of a gravitational pull that is so strong it prevents you from falling asleep? Are you pulled into an event, a trauma, a moment in the past which haunts you today and continues to haunt you night after night, over and over? Is your mind focused on a future event that won't let you go? Is there something that you have to do, a speech you have to give, a presentation, a pitch, a big event that is making you feel anxious or fearful, concerned, insecure, and now it's causing you to not be able to sleep? You see, all of these are not sleep problems, they're truth problems. Have you ever been caught in a pattern of sleeplessness where even though you're absolutely desperate to fall asleep, you fear the transition into bedtime because you have this anxiety about not sleeping? Have you ever watched the clock knowing you have to get up at a certain time and Now another hour went by, and another hour, and each hour you're getting more anxious, more concerned that you're not going to get the rest you need. All these forms of sleep anxiety are not what they appear on the surface. They are truth problems. These patterns can be so disruptive to our lives because one missed night of sleep can make a huge impact in our ability to perform. But if you stack that into two nights or three of really poor sleep or hardly any sleep, stack that into a week, a month, or multiple months, and now you've got a serious problem, don't you? The contemplative practice that I'm going to offer you as part of the solution, as part of your pathway out of this reoccurring nightmare, this is not meditation. A lot of people think what I'm doing is meditation because some of the same practices are used in meditative practices. This is not just a breathing exercise. Contemplative prayer goes much further and deeper than a meditation, which is the practice of focusing one's mind. Contemplation is the practice of forgetting and of unknowing. It's releasing your mind, your thinking mind, your overanalyzing mind, your figure-outer that won't turn off. It's the first and foremost a prayer, though. And as such, it's not really a technique that you can apply as a sort of life hack to quiet your mind. You might listen to my voice, and my voice might cause you to fall asleep. Many people have told me that they listen to my podcasts because it helps them fall asleep. I don't know, to be complimented or insulted by that, but I get it. You could certainly use it in that regard, but if you do, you're going to greatly diminish its potential in your life. There's a story in the Bible in the book of Job. After Job's 39 chapters of complaining and interacting with his friends who are completely unhelpful to his suffering, God speaks to Job. And Job's first response is this: "Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once and I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further." There's something about the presence of God that shuts our mouth. This contemplative practice will shut your mouth that is in your head from running. Henry Scudder equates most prayers to a court jester blowing a feather in the presence of a king. And what we're going to do is remove the court jester out of your mind. And these words that I'm giving you are simply the cones of guidance before we get started, okay? Now, in like manner, gaining awareness of God with the intention of knowing and understanding and being changed by this experience, this is light years from a nebulous wish into the universe of white light, okay? There's a lot of pseudo-spirituality out there that borrows from the Bible, it borrows from the Christian tradition. There's a lot of other religions that do their little song and dance, and the contemplative practice is certainly something that every world religion has access to and absolutely performs. But if you are one of those people that is uncomfortable with this idea of God, if you're triggered at the name of Jesus, at the term Christ, because you think I'm a fundamentalist, because you think those terms are harmful or whatever, this is not going to be an experience for you. I am not going to lead you into a religion. I'm not going to manipulate you in any way. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that isn't within your view of doing it. I just hold this practice as existing before God, in the presence of God, and as such, I don't want to mislead you in any way to thinking that this is just some kind of mental life hack to put you to sleep. What this is going to do is give you something far better than sleep. It will reorder your mind towards the truth. And as you give yourself to this prayer practice, it will habituate you into the truth, and thus your mind will quiet down, not only at night, but everywhere else. So in order for you to sleep and to have your sleep return to you, you must first acknowledge that this form of suffering that you're undergoing is not a punishment for your bad deeds. God is not angry at you. He's not trying to get even. It's not a derailment to your life. It's not like your life was going along fine and now you have this problem and this is a cul-de-sac. This is not a derailment. This is not a punishment. This is an invitation. It's God's way of providing you new hardware upon which you'll build your life. It's more than a software update. It's a new operating system. That's what I'm offering. You see, the version 1.0 of your life operated by way of reacting to your thoughts, reacting to your mind, your emotions, reacting to your sense perceptions. Gosh, I feel tense. I feel anxious. I feel la, 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 all these things in your body. And so you react. You understood reality in version 1.0 as yourself being an object in the middle of a million other objects, and so you just react by colliding with all the other objects. This contemplative prayer practice will bring you into version 2.0. It's a hardware update where God is inviting you into, and He will reveal an integrated reality in which all things flow in distinct waveforms uniformly working together. Your new ability to unknow, to forget, will grow in tandem with this humility, this integration, this depth of love by way of awareness. Not your overthinking. Your figure outer cannot bring you here. This is the death of the figure outer. So this also means that if you're truly invited into this contemplative experience and God graces you with His consolations, what that means is that you will not be going back to how things were. What I'm going to offer you is not how to get your life back to what it was. This will be a surrender of that life so that you can learn a new way to live, because it's an invitation to something bigger and greater, more expansive and more integrated in the love and practice of God. If all of that makes no sense to you, this may not be your time. Maybe come back and visit this later when you feel the impulse to pray, to go deeper. Just bookmark this and come back one of these years later. This may not be for you if you have no desire for God, no hunger for God. If you think, I'm going to invite you into a religion, which I will not do, I am inviting you into an experience with God, and that is what prayer ultimately is, and it reshapes how you think because it reorders your sense of truth. If you are on board with that, you are ready for this contemplation. If I can answer any of your questions, if you would like to meet with me, to coach with me through your personal problem, I'm happy to do so. I've done so with many, many people. Be happy to provide you with a copy of my book and a nice discussion to help you get your head around this. God bless you in your suffering. God bless you in your journey. And may God keep you and bring you into His presence.